Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in! You are tuned in to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army wives. Our life, our family, our soldier. Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army wives, by Army wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more. Now reporting for duty, your hosts, the AWN Core Team.
Well, hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. I'm your host, Sherita Knobloch.
And I'm your co-host, Betsy Rains. Today is Monday, July 10th, 2017, and this is show number 614. We're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
Tonight on AWTR, our featured guest is Mindy King, veteran, Army wife, and proactive volunteer. You can connect with Mindy on social media via Instagram at A Day in the Life of Mindy or over on Twitter at MindyK82.
If you're listening to our show live, join our fun show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guest, or just hang out and chat with the AWN Core Team. Head over to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and be sure to use hashtag ArmyWife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, MetLife. Military spouses do so much for their families. That's why they need life insurance. Enroll today. Learn more at www.militarybenefit.org or call 1-877-MBA-1020. Well, Betsy, I'm super excited to be hosting the show with you tonight, and I know it's been a while since we've hosted together, so I would love to catch up on what's going on in your Army wife life. Can you give us an update?
Sure. Things have been relatively calm lately, so on the upside, I don't have a ton of stuff to update about, which is a blessing. Recently, though, we got together with some of our other military family friends, and we had a potluck for Be the Bridge. It's a racial unity group chapter that a friend and I started here on Fort Hood, and so that's just been growing, and we watched the movie Loving. It was pretty awesome.
Cool. How many people were able to come, do you know?
How many was it? It was one. There were about 10 of us, I would say.
Cool.
We had like four, was it four? I think it was like four different families. So it had originally started off, actually it was just me who really had this burden on my heart, and I wanted to start something, and so I started asking other friends in the area, and at first it was mainly a bunch of women, and we all had some sort of affiliation with the Army, and now it's expanded, and our husbands and children and stepchildren are joining, so it's been an interesting journey.
Okay. How long ago did you start this? And, like, do you guys just do, like, what? I mean, I don't know. I'm very intrigued by this because this is cool, and I think this is something that probably we all need, honestly, looking at the state of our world. So when did you start it, and what do you guys do in addition to, you know, potlucking? Obviously, there's a purpose, a big purpose behind it.
Yeah, mainly aside from the eating, but eating's always a good point. So it had actually started around the time of the Black Lives Matter movement and things getting really heated with the police. And I realized that as a counselor, typically my role is to stand in no man's land when we get in our trenches and just decide to shoot at each other. And so when I realized that things were that heated in that regard, I thought, okay, well, what can we do about this? And then when I went to IF gathering, this one was not this past one I went to, this was like way over a year ago. A woman was there, and she was talking about her organization, Be the Bridge, and that the whole point is that it is the church's role to work on reconciliation and really hear people and come to greater understanding. And so I started bringing it up here on Fort Hood, and word started to spread. We started to grow. And so Be the Bridge has a curriculum, really a discussion guide, because we don't want just one person leading the whole time. So we try to switch up who is leading each time. And we have a discussion guide, and we talk about what it looks like to walk in this world based on our racial or cultural lens. And so it's just been really interesting to get to know everyone. I mean, I'm adopted and Asian. Some of the people who go are white, but even that is just, you can't even lump everyone into one group with that, because we all have different backgrounds. And some people are of Hispanic or Black background. So yeah, it's been pretty great.
Wow, that sounds like a very noble calling. So thank you for your time to like do that and to pour your heart into something like that. Because like I said, I think something our world definitely needs for sure.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for letting me share about that. I don't want to monopolize the time. So I know you just got back from a trip with the kids and block leave and everything. So how did that go?
It was really great. The kids and I went to South Dakota to hang out with my in-laws. And first of all, I just going to say I'm super grateful that I have in-laws that I love enough, and they are so awesome that I go there without my husband to hang out for 10 days.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, my mother-in-law is coming to town. It's like, hi, we're going to go and get help with the kids and try to relax a little bit. So that was really great. I survived flying with the two of them by myself, and it really was not the potential crazy experience that I was halfway anticipating. So a four-year-old and almost five-month-old with my just two hands worked out still pretty good. So we had a pretty great time. We didn't do a ton of profound stuff. I just, you know, still had to parent a little bit, which is fine, and I worked on some classes and, of course, AWN stuff, and got to see a lot of family. So celebrated the 4th up there in the little town in South Dakota, Lenox. Just has a very impressive parade. Like, it's not, like, super small. It's got, like, 2,000 or maybe 2,500 people. But the parade was an hour and a half, and I never got bored. I was like, there is cool stuff to see, and Karis is excited, getting all the candy, and, you know, it was really fun. And I'm really glad we went, and it gave my husband a chance to, you know, he's an introvert. I know you and I talked about this offline about introvert extrovertness, and my husband's an introvert, and so, you know, as most of our spouses, his job is super demanding. And with two little kids, you know, he doesn't get a lot of time to himself. We don't get a ton of time together, but he was just like, I would really love to, like, just be a man and just go camping by myself and go see some of my old battle buddies that are, you know, out of the Army and here in the South. And so he took a 10-day man tour, mancation, I don't know what that is, bromance, whatever dudes do, like, in the boondocks by themselves. Like, he was in a swamp in Florida camping because it was the only campsite that was open for the time that he wanted to go. And it was the same one that him and I went to in 2012, right after we got pregnant with Karis. And for some reason, like, I like to camp. I'm not super high maintenance, but for some silly reason, we only go camping, like, in my first trimester of pregnancy when I feel crazy miserable. I was like, this was not a good choice. And so he went back there, and I think it was more fun without his sick wife in the 106 degree heat index. So he got to fish and see some of his dudes in Alpharetta, Georgia, and then up in Greensboro, North Carolina. So that was super good, and I'm glad he had some time. So we're back in Georgia in Dahlonega, and a new cycle picks up on Saturday for our Ranger students for the mountain phase. So off we go again, and the circle continues.
Yes. Wow. So was this your first big trip with both kids?
By myself, yes. We took Malik. Brandon's grandfather passed away in March, and so we flew with Malik when he was 3 weeks old. And so I was like a lunatic. I mean,
yeah.
I'm a warrior by nature anyways. Like, this is what I do, you know, for fun. It's how I'm wired, and
yeah.
I'm trying to, like, work on it. But I was like, yeah, so we flew as a family to South Dakota in March when Malik was 3 weeks old. I was like, you know what? I don't have to worry about germs so much this time. He's way more of a person. Like, I can entertain him. You can't entertain a 3 week old, you know, like
right.
They are what they are. You can't make noises and sing songs and shake a groove thing, you know, on the plane to make him laugh and keep him entertained, even though it's exhausting. So we had kind of, you know, the pump was kind of primed when he was 3 weeks old and
mm-hmm.
a month or so, but almost five months is so much different. And I know that my daughter is a pro when it comes to traveling because she's flew all the time. Everybody's like, oh, she's such a good traveler. Is this her first flight? I'm like, this is like her 400th flight. Like, I'm not sure, but she's probably flown, like, I've flown like three more flights than her. You know, she is well traveled,
mm-hmm.
little 4 year old. So, but that's good. But yeah, that's what I'm up to, and so it is what it is. So let's go ahead,
yeah.
And I think we should probably move on to hot topics. So we have some good stuff, good news topics tonight, and I want to make sure we have plenty of time to chat about them. So
absolutely.
Tonight, hot in military family news, summer is the time for planning trips. And if you need inspiration on where to take the kids this summer, think no further than our country's capital, where you'll find many must-see attractions. The National Museum of Natural History is already a popular family destination, but did you know they have a butterfly pavilion? Head to the second floor for a chance to walk through a rainforest-like oasis while butterflies from all over the world dance about your head, and if you're lucky, they might even land on it. The International Spy Museum has the largest collection of international espionage artifacts, but also some fun programs for the kids. Operation Spy sends your teens on a mission through the museum to track down a thief, while Spy in the City takes groups out into D.C. to uncover the world of espionage. Now, the National Postal Museum may not sound like somewhere fun to visit, but don't be fooled. They have a huge collection of mail trucks, trains, and planes. And get this, you can even try your hand at creating your own stamp design. Another lesser-known museum is the National Building Museum, which locals will say is the most kid-friendly hotspot in the National Mall. The museum's building zone on the main level is a well-stocked playroom for the littlest museum-goers, which offers Lego construction blocks, a dollhouse, and a life-size green playhouse. And lastly, if you're tired of touring museums, consider these two unique walking tours. The All the President's Pup Tour not only features the first president's dogs, but also introduces visitors to the estate's current canine residents. And the National Treasure Tour goes behind the scenes of the National Treasure Book of Secrets. To read more about these museums and more to do in Washington, D.C., look for the article, D.C. Museums the Whole Family Will Love, at militarytimes.com, or follow the direct link posted on our Twitter feed.
And hot on AWN this week is our monthly Recon Rendezvous blog, brought to you by our very own AWN fans and followers. We male spouses often spend a lot of time dreaming about the future, but sometimes it's just as encouraging to consider the memorable male spouse moment. So that's what we're doing on the blog, complete with a giveaway. AWN fan Christy AC was just one of several followers who shared her most memorable male spouse moment. She said, "My most memorable male spouse moment was when my husband called me and told me to go to labor and delivery after work because his friend's wife, whom I had met about two times, was in labor and her husband was away at training. My husband had her two girls and was going to the airport to get her mother-in-law. I sat awkwardly in the delivery room, unsure what small talk to make in that situation, and prayed her mother-in-law would make it before the baby came, which she did. But hey, as a male spouse, you know these things are bound to happen. We are best friends now. Meeting new friends in the oddest of places is one of the most awesome things about being a male spouse. You can read more and enter the giveaway by going to armywifenetwork.com and checking out the blog titled Most Memorable Male Spouse Moments, Part 1.
Well, it's AWN Social Media Roundup time. Last week, we celebrated the nation's most prestigious holiday, the 4th of July, to commemorate when the United States declared their independence from the British. In celebration, we asked AWN fans what they loved about our country. Some responses included, I love that we are so passionate about our beliefs and that we are allowed to be passionate about our beliefs. And another comment said, I love that it's home. I never thought I'd appreciate and miss the U.S. as much as I do now living overseas. Germany is wonderful, but there's no place like home. Listeners, you can join in on the conversation by heading over to our Facebook page to share what you love most about our country. Betsy, what do you love about our good old USA?
Pennsylvania. I would have to say I really love the diversity of the landscape that we have, the geography and everything. And then, yeah, just the different types of lifestyles. So I grew up in a very rural area full of trees and green life and birds. And, you know, now I'm here at Fort Hood, and it's not quite that way. But it's still good, just in a different way. So that's what I really love.
Cool. I agree. My husband and I were kind of talking about that tonight because I had the idea. We're trying to do more dreaming in our life, like together as a couple, because you just kind of get sucked into like the daily realities, you know, the grind of
absolutely,
holy cow, we're tired, get up, do it again the next day. And so we're trying to dream more, and we talked about like all the places and things we want to do and see together as a couple, which probably will mostly happen after we retire from the military, but seeing a lot of those landscapes, we're definitely on that list. And then I think for me, the other reason that I love the America so much is because America makes such a great verb, like America, like it's a verb. I can't really do that with like England and China, no offense to our wonderful people overseas and whatnot, but you know, America, like it's just, I just think it's powerful and it's cool and easy to make into a verb. So I digress. It is time to move on to our next segment. So Betsy, I would love it if you could tell us about our PSA this week.
Absolutely. So, last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them at least 10 days in advance. Send your PSA to info@armywifenetwork.com. From PCS moves to vacations to cross-country trips to visit friends and relatives, military families rarely stay put for long. That's why we're always on the lookout for cheap places to stay during those times when we're not at home. Here are some great deals for military families to find cheap lodging on the go. So, we have installation lodging. Most military installations offer temporary space-available lodging for low prices. Army Forces Recreation Centers. Thinking about organizing a unique vacation? Stationed overseas and wondering where you can stay while exploring a new country? Check into Armed Forces Recreation Centers, or AFRCs, which are joint service facilities operated by the Army Family and Morale, Welfare, and Recreation Programs. These affordable full-service resort hotels are located at vacation destinations throughout the world, and they're available to service members and their families. Probably the best-known AFRC is the Shades of Green Resort, which is in Orlando, Florida, within Walt Disney World. And I can totally vouch for that one because my family has stayed there for years, and I absolutely love it. Highly recommend it if you're planning a trip. Don't forget to get your military salute tickets from Disney because they're four-day park hopper passes and they're way cheaper than what you regularly pay. Anyway, we also have military campgrounds. Are you looking for more of an outdoor adventure for your overnight needs? Some military installations have cottages, cabins, and townhomes that can be used for vacation rentals. And some bases even have military campgrounds and RV parks that provide things like barbecue areas, laundry, and play areas for the kids. And military discounts at hotels. For those times when your travels take you nowhere near a military installation, plan your overnight stay at hotels that offer military discounts. Many hotels offer military rates, including Best Western, Embassy Suites, the Hampton Inn, La Quinta, Motel 6, Red Line Hotels, Red Roof Inn, and Sleep Inn, just to name a few. But even if you find a hotel that doesn't advertise a military discount, make sure to ask for one. You never know. Visit military.com for more information about military discounts and ways to save when you travel. A link directly to this PSA is posted on our Twitter feed. That's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is our new 6th Gen bringing you the need-to-know stories. We'll be right back.
The government spends billions of dollars to protect the country. Protecting your family starts at $250 a month. Find out about life insurance from Military Benefit Association. Learn more now.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details. You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Welcome back to AWTR, listeners. We have our News 6 Jen on the line with our Need to Know News. Hey, Jen, what have you got for us tonight?
Hi, Sherita and Betsy. Tonight's news story concerns two senators who are looking for ways to help military families seeking child care. They have proposed a bill aimed at making more child care available to military families, primarily by seeking out more spaces in the civilian community. The bill would also require the military services to set the hours of operation of military child development centers based on the needs of military parents in individual locations and would establish a child care coordinator network. According to Blue Star Families, a concern about child care is the number one issue facing military families.
Oh, this sounds like a great thing for military families, Jen. Can you give us more info on the extension of hours for individual locations?
The bill would require service officials to set hours of operations at military child care centers that meet the needs of parents who use them. That means considering mission requirements of units at that location, unpredictability of work schedules, the potential for frequent and prolonged absences, spousal employment, geographic separation of service members from their extended family, etc. This new proposed bill would expand upon the DOD's Force of the Future initiative that increased the hours of operation to 14 hours a day at child development centers where needed.
Well, Jen, I definitely want to know more about having off-post care available to families. What can you tell us about that?
The bill would establish pilot programs where installation officials work with civilian child care providers to reserve some or their entire child care spaces for military children. Each service branch would carry out pilot programs at a minimum of 4 military installations. Military families often face the challenge of finding high-quality child care because of frequent moves, long waiting lists at military child development centers, demanding schedules, and the prolonged absence of one or more military parents. There is no word yet on whether military families who would utilize the off-post child care at these pilot programs would pay the same prices as an on-post child development center.
So, Jen, you also mentioned that there would be a new program of child care coordinators. What exactly is a child care coordinator?
So, a child care coordinator would be an advocate for military families on child care matters both on and off the installation. While there are currently some child care referral and resource offices, they aren't on every base. One of the jobs of the new child care coordinator position would be to seek out more child care spaces within the civilian community. These coordinators would track vacancies and child care facilities and seek to obtain favorable prices for child care for military children.
Well, Jen, this sounds like an all-around great bill for military families struggling with child care issues. any idea what the next step is for this particular bill?
Right now, it's still being looked at within the Senate. The two senators that proposed the bill are trying to garner enough support for it to be brought for a vote before the whole Senate, but there is no word on that as of early last week.
Well, thanks for bringing us this story, Jen. Listeners, stay tuned after this break, and we'll be back with tonight's guest, Mindy King. You don't want to miss our interview.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com, interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sherita Knobloch.
And I'm your co-host, Betsy Raines. Tonight we have with us Mindy King. Mindy is a medically retired veteran, Army wife, and mom to crazy boys ages 5 and 4. Currently residing at Fort Riley, again, she has also called Fort Hood, Katterbach, Germany, Iraq, and Fort Rucker home for different periods of the last 13 years.
As a volunteer, Mindy has served within the Army community as FRD leader, historian, AFTB instructor, care team coordinator, and battalion FRG advisor. Outside the military community, she spends time with the American Legion and assisting her two sons, who are currently the co-historians for the Sons of the American Legion, Kansas Detachment. Mindy is also one of our AWN experience bloggers. In her free time, she enjoys camping, sewing, and maintaining just a little bit of sanity. Welcome to the show, Mindy. We're super excited you're here with us tonight.
Thank you.
Well, let's go ahead and jump in. And so tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
I am calling from good old Fort Riley, Kansas. I have been a military spouse for going on almost 10 years. Prior to that, I was in the Army for a couple years, and we did the dual military thing. And then since I've been out of the Army, just been kind of hanging out and following the husband around.
So you've got a lot going on. when did you first start volunteering, Mindy, and why?
I first started volunteering when I was a teenager. I used to coach bowling leagues, and it was one of those things that spending time with the kids, they got so excited about such little things that we tend to overlook, that it was one of those things that was like the light of each week, looking forward to seeing their excitement over little things like knocking over a few pens. And then as I got when I was a little bit younger, I also did Girl Scouts, and they kind of instill a little bit of that volunteering community service type thought process. And my parents have always been real active volunteers. And so it's one of those things, I guess, I kind of grew into.
And so you started young, and it's just something you've always kind of done and kind of felt called to do, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome. Sums it up pretty well. Well, I don't want to, like, backtrack at all, but first of all, I just want to jump back and be like, I love Fort Riley, but it's only because I went to school at K-State and lived in Manhattan for, like, 5 years, and I met my husband at Fort Riley, so enjoy Kansas for me, because I'm a Kansas girl at heart, and our AWN owner, Crystal, is also a Kansas girl. So, side note, has nothing to do with you.
No, by nature, I'm a Kansas girl, too, so I'm right there with you.
All right, good. So why do you think volunteering is so important in the military community?
Anymore because of funding and everything. Our military community has lacked funding for a lot of different organizations, programs that used to be available. And there's also a lot of different programs that they're wanting to start, but the funding just isn't available for it. When you have volunteering, that helps bring people in that can fill those roles. For example, our Army Community Service here, they're short on trainers, but we have volunteers that are able to come in and help with some of that training, which makes the training available for more of the community and reaches out to more people. I think without having that, without that, the improvements that we see in our communities on a regular basis and the new things that do take place and come about wouldn't happen, because the lifeblood behind a lot of those is our volunteers.
So, Mindy, based on your experience, whether you or other volunteers you've seen, what does the volunteer get out of that time?
Oh, my word, you get so much out of the time. I don't think there's enough time tonight for that. But a lot of, I mean, for me, one thing that I get out of it is whenever I was a soldier, I always strive to take care of my soldiers. That was, like, my number one priority. Well, after I got out, I had a hard time finding an equivalent to that. And so for me, I got involved with the FRG, the Family Readiness Groups, and some of the other spouses clubs. And I found that being able to have that openness and ability to be there for other spouses was still a way of taking care of the soldiers in an indirect way. Because, I mean, we all know that if the families aren't taken care of, the soldiers suffer. So I think for me, that's a big part of the personal gratification of it, is being able to still serve in a way. There's a lot of other different things that are available. I mean, it gives you a chance to meet other people you probably never crossed paths with otherwise, people that you probably will cross paths with again later on down in your military career. It also gives you good mental and physical rewards. You get a chance to see somebody else maybe light up because they learned something or because they helped accomplish something, and you get to be a part of that. But just giving back, and then also for those that are maybe in between a job at a different location, it gives them a chance to have something to put on their resume. It's a job experience. They may find a job volunteering that's in a job that they want to do down the road. So it gives them that on the, you know, job experience by actually participating and giving back at the same time.
Wow, that motivates me. I'm already, I mean, you know, and I think most of our listeners probably know that all of our AWN core team, they're all volunteers, which is really cool. And I think we all clearly agree with, you know, the motivation and, you know, what we get out of the time. It's way more than just, you know, something to do. You know, there's a lot of really beneficial aspects of that. But on the flip side of that, Mindy, I know that, you know, from my FRG experience and just other volunteer organizations, not necessarily AWN, but other organizations, it's really hard. It's almost like pulling teeth sometimes to get people to volunteer. So why do you think, what do you think are the reasons sometimes it's hard to find volunteers?
Well, I think there's a number of different reasons. You know, talking about FRG, that's a bad, or that could be a bad topic with some because they've had bad experiences in the past. But they may find that they have another opportunity in a new FRG with a new group of people that may be a volunteer opportunity that they love. But I think it's one of those things that when you've had a bad past experience, whether it's FRG or any other organization, a lot of times it's hard to step back in and say, okay, yeah, I'm going to try this again. But you also have opportunities that are out there that people aren't aware of. There's, on a regular basis, with being the advisor, I receive volunteer opportunities, and I just wonder how many times those aren't getting out to the community as a whole because they aren't on an email distro, or they choose not to receive contact from their FRG, or a number of other different things. But that's one thing that is nice is that a lot of the community service organizations, like with the Army, ACS, they actually have a set group that covers those volunteer opportunities. But you also have people that just get burnt out. They do it for so long and put in so many hours, and after a while they get tired. And then above all, time commitments. We're all busy people, and when our soldiers are out in training, it's harder for us to maybe meet at this location or that location, or going to school, working. There's so many different aspects that could take from that time that you may not have available to give back as much or to actually get involved as much as you would like to. And it's not a matter of just not wanting to. It's just life happens, and you're not always able to reach out and hit that spot that you may want to be a part of.
So true. Thank you for sharing that, Mindy. As you reflect over your career of volunteerism, what has been your favorite or your most memorable position as a volunteer?
Oh, that one's hard. I've really enjoyed, there's been aspects of each position that I've really enjoyed. I enjoyed being a historian because I got to go out and be involved in all the different events. Right now, I'm the battalion advisor for our battalion, and I'm also the care team coordinator. And those roles right now are very, very filling for me because it's a different dynamic that I haven't done before. I've done company-level FRGs and other company-level positions. But now doing the battalion, it's a lot different getting to work with all the other FRG leaders and all the commanders and everything within the battalion, as well as within the brigade. It's been eye-opening, and it's been amazing. So I think for me right now, probably the moment I'm in.
Wow, that's exciting, and that's a really fun place to be, for sure. I haven't had the opportunity to volunteer quite at that level. I did do some battalion stuff when we were a drill sergeant on the trail back in the day a few years ago, but our battalions are super tiny compared to, a normal line unit or a normal unit, and so that was kind of a different dynamic, too, with that. We have another question from a listener. So they would like to know if and how, you have any suggestions on putting volunteering on a resume, how to make that look, how do you add value to your resume with volunteering, I guess?
Well, one thing that's very important on the volunteering side is most there's volunteer management systems that can be a pain to use sometimes because they're online systems, but it's where you go in and actually log your hours and somebody goes in and physically certifies those. That's a very, very key thing because then whenever you go back, you have documentation to provide with your resume. But the biggest thing is look at how it equates to whatever job that you're looking at applying for. You know, you have to deal with people. You have people skills. You may have done writing. You may have done a number of other different things. You may have been a contact person or handled meals. Well, you may say, well, I don't know how meals equates to a job as a receptionist, for example. Well, that's a lot of organizing. That's getting people and parts moving in the right place at the right location at the right time. It's a matter of looking at the bigger picture of what you've done and see how that pertains to what you're looking at applying for. Because no matter what you're doing volunteering-wise, if you're out there giving your time back, there is some way that that relates to almost any job that you could do.
That is an excellent point. And I know some experiences that I've had as a career consultant and when I worked in human resources, that's definitely one thing I coached people on was, the volunteering. Very rarely have I done a job where I was like, this has no application to, quote, real life or real people dollars. You know, all of those skills transfer, and employers love seeing that because they see, even in the challenge of being a male spouse, we're making the most of those gaps if we choose not to, like, work for money. I know that employers are really a big fan of being like, wow, look what how they gave back. Like, they have a generous heart and they're motivated. Those are great points, and I just appreciate you sharing all that with us. But right now, Mindy, we need to take a quick break, and so when we come back, we'll talk more about volunteering and specifically about the challenges people can face as a volunteer. Listeners, don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN Core team is hanging out in the Twitter chat. Join the conversation and ask questions of our guest by going to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and use the hashtag ArmyWife to participate. Make sure you click on the live tab to get real-time chat updates. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
How to translate your military resume to civilian speak. This is a Money Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. If you're fresh out of the military and seeking employment, get some help preparing your resume. Translating military work and accomplishments into something a civilian employer can understand may be the key to finding the right job. Putting your resume in civilian terms helps recruiters understand how your skills can be used by companies on the outside. Follow these tips to translate your resume into civilian speak. Translate job positions. For example, company commander should be operations manager. Spell out abbreviations and acronyms and translate their importance. Explain any awards and certification you may have received. Rank is important, but what's more important is relative rank, like second in command. Be sure to include any supervisory roles you may have had and how crucial your role was. Finally, ask some civilian friends or family members if your resume makes sense and if there's anything else you can do to clarify. This Money Minute is made possible by InCharge Debt Solutions. Visit us online at www.incharge.org.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Mindy King, veteran Army Wife and volunteer extraordinaire. Before we went to break, we were discussing Mindy's volunteer experience, including the insights as to why it's important to volunteer. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit, Mindy, and we would appreciate if you could share with our listeners what challenges do you have as a volunteer that others might relate to, and how do you overcome that?
Right now, I think my biggest challenge is childcare. I mean, I love taking my boys because it gives them a good chance to see what goes on in our community. I'm pretty sure my four-year-old knows where our battalion building is more than 95% of the people in the battalion. but right now they've cut all the hourly funding here at Fort Riley, and that just became effective a couple days ago. And so for a lot of our volunteers, that's going to be a huge challenge, is being able to come to meetings or events or other places where it may not be as feasible for your kids to be there. So I know that's one challenge for me. I am kind of looking forward to school getting started a little bit again, just for my own sanity outside of the childcare. But also, like, scheduling when your soldier's gone. If we have events that come and go, and I can't always volunteer for an event I may want to be a part of, because it's something that, like I said, my kids can't go to, or it's a fundraising booth and it's not feasible to take my kids with me. So some of those things I know are challenges other people have come across, because I've talked to people about them. It's an ongoing thing, I think. But also, you know, training requirements. Some positions do have training requirements, and if training's not available when you can take it, that's a challenge. And then also meeting time. Some people don't have the flexibility or the availability to say, okay, well, I can volunteer 20 hours a week, not mattering what time of day or anything it is. They may be able to say, okay, I can volunteer for an hour this week, but it needs to be on my time. Well, depending on what they're volunteering for, that may be a challenge as well, because you may want to volunteer, but again, like we were talking about earlier, time commitments and everything doesn't always make it as easy to do as we would all like it to be.
So, Mindy, as you think about your own motives or the motives of the people that you have worked with, why do you think people volunteer?
Well, based off of the quote-unquote Army family team building answer, there's many reasons that people volunteer. But it kind of encompasses everything within it. We have our own self-serving reasons, whether that's to make friends or to be involved in an organization that we see something fun to be a part of. And then there's, you know, the relational drive. You know, I have a friend that invited me to go. Well, you're more likely to go if a friend goes than you are by yourself a lot of times. So if my friend says, hey, we're doing this booth, you want to come help? Most likely I'm going to be at that booth helping. And then, I mean, above all, people volunteer because they believe in what they're doing. They believe in a cause, whether it's making their child's Boy Scout or Girl Scout troop better, or just having that time with their child, whether it's making their, you know, trying to make their family readiness group better, or their unit group, or whatever the situation may be. They have an honest belief that they can take a step forward and go, hey, you know what? We can do this. This is an awesome group, awesome organization, and I want to be a part of that. And above all, I think that's where most people end up when it comes down to it, is they honestly believe in what they're doing, because otherwise they wouldn't do it.
Wow, that was powerful, and I totally agree. Preach it, girl. You got it. That's great. And I would say, maybe even kind of to add to that, it's almost kind of a cool experience with volunteering, because we get outside of ourselves and outside of our little bubbles, and we just feel like, even if it is like 1 hour a week or if it's 20 hours a week, like we're part of something bigger, you know, a purpose that's greater than us, regardless of the cause. It's just something that, you know, is so rewarding, and I think that's what we see, you know, even with you volunteering to write once a month for AWN as an experienced blogger and our awesome team of volunteers on the core team. You know, nobody gets a paycheck, and it's just literally, you know, that internal satisfaction, but also to be part of something bigger. And so appreciate you sharing that, and you're just getting me all motivated and pumped up, so it's going to be really fun to try to go to sleep after we finish this conversation. But anywho, moving on. How do you think volunteers affect our communities?
Oh, my word. That's another one that I don't think there's enough time. I looked up some information just here at Fort Riley, just out of sheer curiosity. And these figures are a couple years old, but it'll kind of give you an idea. And for fiscal year 2012 here at Fort Riley, over 200,000 volunteer hours were put in. And they equate that to a little over $4 million worth put back in our community. And mind you, that's only the hours that were actually submitted. You know, who knows how many hours out there were not submitted that would make that number so exponentially bigger. And it's whenever you have that type of volume of hours going back into your community, there's only good things that can come out of it. You know, you have your family groups that are better for those volunteers. You have your soldiers that get out there and are involved. You know, it gives them also a chance to get recognized for, there's actually a service award that gives them promotion points. So for, you know, they're out there serving their community in two aspects. I can't think of the exact word to describe it, but it's just the power that our volunteers put back into our community is amazing. Whether it's putting on events like an ice cream social, like our historical society on post here, or a brunch at one of our chapels, you know, those are all events that reach out to a general population that may not have gotten out of the house that night otherwise, or they may come out that night for that one, I'm going to give this a shot, and they may meet three people that night who become their lifeblood when the next deployment comes around. You know, it seems like an event, okay, yeah, it's something so simple, but without those volunteers, those events wouldn't happen, those connections wouldn't be made, and in the long run, that would make military life as a whole a lot harder for a lot of us.
So, Mindy, you said that it would make military life a lot harder. So what do you think would happen? How would it impact our daily military life if the military wasn't so volunteer-rich?
We would see so many of those programs that we rely on now go away. You look at, like, the USO. The USO is staffed by volunteers, and that provides a huge service to our military communities, whether it's on a military installation or at an airport or wherever it may be. You know, you take stuff like that away, and that inhibits a lot of things that we look forward to and we use as military families. There's a lot of resources that would go away too. And you'd also see a lot of the groups and organizations that help support our soldiers go away. I mean, looking outside of the military community of those that were prior military, you look at organizations like your VFWs, your American Legions, your other veterans organizations outside of the military. That carried over. They had something that was given to them while they were in the military or something that they already had deep down. And whenever they got out of the military, they continued that forward. They continued serving in a separate aspect. And so it doesn't just affect the military community if it wasn't so volunteer-rich. It would affect our civilian communities outside that work with these veterans. And even something in the Patriot Guard, you know, going and standing in front of a fallen soldier's family, those are all volunteers. Most of them are veterans. There's something that starts in the military community and grows from there. And I think if our community wasn't so rich with volunteers as it is, we would see so much of that go away. And if it ever does, it's going to be a sad day because a lot of the things that we have available to us now was because volunteers in generations past, military spouses that were where we are 20 and 30 years ago, put some of these organizations into play. So we would have things easier now than what they did when it was back then. So it's, I think it's an ongoing pay it forward. And I think if those volunteers start going away, we're going to see a lot of those things that we rely on go away. And that's going to be a painful transition.
I've never really thought of it kind of like the way that you put it, Mindy, as far as like the impact that the volunteers have on our military lifestyle, but also like the communities and those hundreds and hundreds of thousands, probably millions of hours that are donated every year for a total of installations around the world. It's just probably will blow our minds. So I hope that our listeners are very encouraged by what you're sharing tonight. And so kind of on that note, since volunteers are so super important, this next question is going to be a two-part question. And the first part is from the perspective of what can be done to keep volunteers around?
The biggest thing is you have to appreciate your volunteers. Anybody that's putting in any time, they're making a commitment to your organization. If you're in a leadership position of that group, take time to thank them. Take time to show appreciation. Maybe send them a thank you note. We do volunteer of the quarter ceremonies here. If you have somebody that qualifies, whether they're volunteering on post or off post, take the time to write out that recommendation for that award. You know, that makes a huge difference. And I know for a lot of our military spouses, a lot of times they're always there for the promotion ceremonies and everything else for their soldier. And so that time whenever they're recognized for being a volunteer, that's a chance that they get to be the one that are actually standing up there, and they're the ones that made that accomplishment, where their kids can see, hey, you know what? Mommy and Daddy are both awesome. They both do amazing things in different ways. And a lot of times I think being a mom, sometimes that in itself is like a, oh, you know, this is a moment I get to take a cute picture with my kids because it was something special. So, but also, you know, respect their time. Work on building that community together, and be available. You know, if they can't get to you, they're not going to try. So you have to make sure you're out there and you're available.
Well, and the second part of that question is, you mentioned, I think in the first segment of our discussion, you talked about, you know, sometimes like volunteers just get tired. I want to know how we as volunteers can keep ourselves from burning out.
Self-care is really, I think really the biggest thing you can do is if you feel like you're getting tired, say something. You know, don't push yourself to the point that you're just, you're done. If there's something that is becoming too weighing on you as an individual, you know, reach out to whoever may be the person in charge or whoever may be working with you and say, hey, can you help me with this? You know, it's a lot of times it's no different than our day-to-day jobs. You know, if we need help, we have to ask. People aren't always going to know when you may be struggling or you may say, you know what, I'm about done. So I think it's a lot of that is making sure that, you know, like I said, self-care, run yourself a bath. If you are so inclined to have a glass of wine, go for it. Give yourself that time.
That's excellent. Excellent. Thank you. Because that's, I think, so important. We can't expect people to read our minds and know exactly what's going on in our lives or when we need a break. It's our responsibility to say no and set boundaries sometimes. So one of our listeners was wondering, how do we dive into volunteering when we PCS? So we've talked about, you know, how do we keep our volunteers around, but what happens when they leave? How do we get plugged in at a new duty station?
The best thing I can do whenever I go to a new duty station is, one, I try to
always network a little bit and see who I may know that's already there. Because a lot of times those people are going to know different options that are available when we first get there. And I'm like, okay, husband, take my information, give it to the FRG, which I know not everybody's wild about, but give my information to the FRG, and I try to get plugged in there. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And then if from there, I go, I love Army Community Service because there's so much there. But, you know, finding out those volunteer opportunities that are available on post are definitely one of the high things on the list up there. And then just listening. If you see an organization that you're interested in, here at Fort Riley, we have the Historical and Archaeological Society of Fort Riley. I've never been to another post where they have a organization quite like that, but they thrive on the history, the like massive, rich history we have here at Fort Riley. And they keep that going with different events and everything. If that's something you're interested in, contact them. Say, hey, I saw this. What's this about? I guarantee they're going to be super epically excited for somebody that's coming in and saying, hey, I'm interested in helping. What can I do?
Super epically excited. I think that encapsulates the entire MilSpouse volunteer experience. Excellent. well, kind of along the same lines, you talked about how to get plugged in with your local installation with ACS or FRG, but where can listeners go to learn about local volunteer opportunities in their communities, or is there anything else you want to add about their local installations?
Well, on the installations, there's always I know there's not a USO on every installation, but on the installations where there are there is a USO, that's always an option. CYS, Child Youth Services, they're always looking for volunteers for kids. If you like playing sports, see what they have on their agenda. You know, they're always, always up for somebody to help. And if you have kids that are in sports, they give you a discount for it. So that's kind of a win-win on that one. Off-post, find what you're interested in. If you like working with animals, contact your local animal shelter. I guarantee these places are not going to turn away a volunteer. Senior centers, boys and girls clubs, different scouts organizations. And then, like I've mentioned already, the American Legion, those different organizations that are out there, they're always looking for somebody to help. And you never know what you may learn going into some of those organizations. I personally have avoided animal shelters because we have a limit, obviously, on how many animals we can have, and I'm not sure if I could leave them. So I think it's one of those things. It's a matter of what you're really, truly passionate about and what you really enjoy doing. There's something out there for everybody.
Well, that is a very powerful and positive note to wrap up our conversation tonight. And so, Mindy, we just want to thank you so much for being our guest this evening. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy volunteering schedule to join us and volunteer to talk about volunteer opportunities tonight on AWTR. It's just really inspiring. And thank you for all that you do for your community and our MilSpouse communities as well. Well, listeners, thank you for tuning in. Join us next week, June 17, 2017, when our featured guest will be Doug Haddad, author of The Ultimate Guide, Raising Teens and Tweens, Strategies for Unlocking Your Child's Full Potential.
And in the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets, including Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team, signing out.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.